If you have a Bible with you tonight, open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Pastor Jim gave me the schedule for preaching, and when I seen I was going to be on there for this Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper, of course you always get nervous the more you got to do, and I said, well, how do you set the table for the Lord's Supper? And the way you set the table for the Lord's Supper is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way to get the table set and to understand it and to thank him for all the great things he's done for us. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul says this. We'll read the first 10 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, we thank you for our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that great work on Calvary's cross. And Father, we thank you for all the great benefits that we have in heaven because of him. Father, we pray that you would open up your word to our hearts tonight to love our Savior more. And Father, we do pray that you continue to work on our hearts and conform us to be more and more like him. Father, we ask it in his name. Amen. This passage of scripture to a believer is one of the most assuring, hopeful, and glorious passage of scripture in the Word of God. Because what the Apostle Paul does in this passage of scripture is that he gives us a description of God's blessings that he gives to all his people through Jesus Christ. And not only does he point us to our personal salvation and all the spiritual blessings that come with our personal salvation, but he also points us to God's grand, comprehensive, final purpose for all things. What Paul does in this passage is he goes beyond just personal salvation, and Paul points us to the ultimate destiny of the universe, or you could say the creation. Because if you live in the world today and you look at the awful state and the condition of this world, the temptation is to lose hope. The temptation is to be in despair and fear. The temptation is, as you look at everything, you say that everything is headed for doom. And the reality about the earth is basically it's always looked hopeless and helpless if you've had any kind of spiritual eyes. But sometimes it looks seriously helpless and hopeless. And that's the time we're in today. We live in today. But it'll always be like this in this age, but not in the age to come. Because the Word of God promises us that the earth will be restored, renovated, the universe will be restored, renovated, the heavens, and it will be put back in right working order. So if you're in Christ tonight, you can put your mind and heart at ease, because God Almighty has a glorious plan of restoration in Jesus Christ. And this restoration in Christ is going to result in the creation of a new humanity, a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Now, this plan of God has been in progress since he made the world and all that is in it. Basically, since Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God has graciously put this plan into place. And if you're a good Calvinist and a good Reformed Baptist, you know that God's plan is never dependent upon what men or nations may or may not do. They are simply included in his plans. They are simply instruments in his plans. But what God has done is he's made known to us in his holy word by his holy apostles and prophets the ultimate future of the created world, which presently continues to suffer under the curse of Adam's sin. Romans 8:22, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together till now." In other words, one man says, he said that this means that up to the present, we know that the whole created universe groans in all its parts as if in the pains of childbirth. And why is the creation groaning? It's to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And that corruption we're talking about is death and decay that has been brought about by Adam's sin. So until God's grand purpose is filled in Jesus Christ, the world will continue to groan. You know, when you look at the world, you see a world full of grief and great suffering that goes on all the time, basically throughout history. But we as believers, we also groan inwardly, wanting to be delivered and to have a new body and have the redemption of our body so that we can live with the Lord forever. Now, the key text that we want to look at tonight before we celebrate the Lord's Supper is verse 10. Paul says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in him. Now, the first thing I want to look at is the heart and center of God's plan and purposes. The heart and center of God's plan and purposes for his creation and is headlined by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of the plan of God. And all else revolves around him. You think about it. There is no creation. There is no gospel. There is no redemption or restoration apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you read the Word of God, you will see that all of God's gracious plans and purposes are carried out by Christ. They're carried out in Christ, through Christ, and for Christ from the beginning to the very end. Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come." So he is the front and center of the plan of God. Just to give you an example of how he's the front and center of God's plan, Paul says in Colossians 1:15, he says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, Christ is the head of all creation. And listen to what Paul says here in verse 16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." So we're saying that in God's plan, it's all about Christ from creation to the end of the world. Hebrews 1:2, he says that he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the world. So God in his plan, he gave Christ a people to save and to redeem and to reconcile back to himself and to bring back to him after Adam fell into sin. John 17:6, Jesus says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." He's talking about lost and sinful men, specifically the disciples. He said, "They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." He says that he has lost none of them. And so if you're a Christian, God gave you to Jesus. And the reason why you will end this race is because Jesus, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bottom line in all of this is this, in Revelation 21:27, those who will be in the new Jerusalems, their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever began. So everything that God in his sovereign will and by his infinite grace has carried out for our salvation, and I don't have to tell you this tonight, but he's done in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So probably when you read the book of Ephesians, you can say the book of Ephesians, its great theme, basically, if you read through the whole book, would be God's purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses this word in the book of Ephesians about the mystery that has been made known. And I want to call this mystery, the second thing we'll look at tonight, is the great blessing to the world. The mystery that Paul talks about is a great blessing to the world. Just want to read a few scriptures out of Ephesians. Verse 1:9, he says, having made known to us the mystery, or you could say the secret of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now, God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and God has revealed to us his hidden purposes. And God, Paul says, is pleased to do that, to reveal his secret plan to us. And you say, what's the big deal? Because why is this such a blessing? Paul says in Ephesians 3:1, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given me for you, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. He said, by which when you read verse 4, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And here's the blessing for the world. He says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise that is in Christ. So when we talk about the mystery, we're talking about this means that God's thoughts, it means his plans and his purposes have been hidden in the mind of God. And Paul says they have now been revealed. And now that God, by his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, through his apostles and prophets, has revealed the mystery of Christ, that mystery that has been revealed that Paul is talking about in Ephesians will be preached to the whole world. And it's very simply, this mystery is God's eternal purpose in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because before he made the world, he purposed in himself the plan of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christianity, for at least around 2,000 years or more, has proclaimed this mystery to the whole world that had been hidden from ages from this world. And that mystery is now what one man calls an open or known secret. Now, what is that mystery? Real simple. It's the great commission that has been commanded to Christ's disciples to go and take to the whole world. You'll read about this mystery in Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, and Acts 1:8. And Paul is saying that God, by his Holy Spirit, has given to his people wisdom and prudence. In other words, he's given understanding to his elect to know and understand the mystery of his will. And then he's saying, and go and preach it to the world. You say, still don't know the big deal about the mystery. It's a blessing to the world that God has revealed the gospel of Jesus Christ that was in the plan of God that was hidden from the rest of the world. So, that mystery is just simply divine truth that has been made fully known in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are here tonight because somebody preached to us the mystery. That's why we're here tonight. John 3:17, God sent his son into the world that the world through him might be saved. That's the mystery. So it's been revealed, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now Paul says, furthermore, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the same promise in Jesus Christ in the gospel, and will be gathered together in one in all things in Christ Jesus. I tell you a glorious thing about this mystery. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. The gospel is going throughout. And we talked about last week, before the Lord comes back, that this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world, and then the end shall come. And the gospel continues this very night to be preached throughout this world, somewhere or another. And this is that mystery that had not been revealed to men before the Lord had revealed it through Jesus Christ. So I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but I thank God for that mystery. Because that mystery has set me free in my life. And that mystery is basically the mystery of Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing I want to talk about tonight is the restoration of all things. Because Ephesians 1:10, Paul says, he speaks of more of this mystery of God's will that has been revealed and entrusted to God's people, and that's God's final purpose with respect to the world. The question would come up, what's the ultimate destiny of the universe? How will the world end? In other words, what is the future of God's universe? He says in verse 10, he said, God's going to gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. What is he saying? He said, God's final plan, his comprehensive, his final plan that he will establish in this earth and throughout the world, is that he is going to gather in one all things in Christ Jesus, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. One man says it this way, God's purpose is the establishment of a new order, a new creation, of which Christ shall be acknowledged as head. Christ right now, he's head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1:22. But the mystery of God's will with respect to the destiny of the universe is this, is that Christ will be head of a regathered, a reunited, restored universe. It will be a universe that is totally transformed, reformed, and I put it in my own word, modeled or remodeled to perfection. It is hard to conceive these things that the Word of God says is going to happen, but the creation itself is going to one day be delivered from the bondage of the corruption that happened because of Adam's sin, as we talked about. And God will do this through his Holy Son, Jesus Christ. It will be headed up and summed up and restored in Jesus Christ. See, before sin entered the world, before God ever made the world, remember, he's the omniscient God. He knew that man would sin and bring the curse upon the world. And he had already purposed and he had already planned for a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness would dwell. And remember, he's the all-wise, he's the all-knowing God. He knows the end from the beginning. He has a perfect knowledge of everything present, past, and future. So God had a plan that through his son, Jesus Christ, he would restore all things that were lost in the fall of Adam. Just to give you a scripture or two that tells you about this, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted. This is Peter, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, that better and brighter days or days of revival might come from the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. And then he says this, he said, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all things. In other words, whom the heavens must receive until all things are restored new, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So he's basically saying that Jesus must remain in heaven until the time of the restoration of all things and until the time when the whole world is recreated. In other words, until the final recovery of all things from the sin of Adam, that which brought death and the curse into this world. Now, if you were born under the curse, which all of us were, you really don't know that you're under a curse because you were born under it. And so it's just like anything, you know, if you're born in any kind of situation, you don't know the danger of the situation. But we're so used to the curse that we don't realize sometimes that it is a curse. And sometimes we don't realize that's a curse on the earth because God bestows so many blessings and things upon us. But if you look at the world in general and all the things that have happened in history and all the things that are happening in the world now and has happened throughout history altogether, there's been a lot of horrible things that have happened in this world. And you can see for sure through history that the world is under the curse. And so until the final recovery of all things from sin, Jesus will stay in heaven. And Paul says, he says, then all he will gather together all things in one, and they will be gathered together in Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about all things, he's not teaching universalism. Not ultimately everybody is going to be saved. some people preach that because they would say the devil and the fallen angels and all the unsaved of the world, you know, will be redeemed. But no, the unsaved of the world will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will be eternally separated from the new creation. And the reason why we preach the gospel here continually, because we know that your only hope from not being with the unsaved of the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's always preached here continually. And that's the gospel that you need, because that's the only way that you'll ever be saved. But to simplify what all things basically mean, that means there's coming a day in which God's universe, in which sin has brought disorder and confusion, sin has brought pain and sickness and suffering and death. We have the promise that there's a day coming when everything will be restored to perfect harmony and unity and headed up under our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a day coming when there's going to be perfect peace. The only one can bring perfect peace is the Prince of Peace. And there's nobody else can bring perfect peace but him. You know, I thought the other day when I was talking about, the creation groaning. After I hit 40 years old, I've been groaning ever since. Now, the older people can understand this groaning thing more than kids can, but you'll understand it one day about this groaning thing. But it's not just that. But you understand what I'm saying is that, you know, you do not have to tell me, you do not have to convince me that the world and my body is under the curse. I know that. But there's a day coming when we're going to have a new body, new heavens, and a new earth. And I know that doesn't excite you, but it excites me. Because there is a lot of pain, there is a lot of sickness, there is a lot of suffering and sorrow and death and all these horrible things on the world and in the world. And it was caused by one man's sin. One man's sin and suffering and death came into the world. But there's coming a day when everything that's in existence, as one man said, will be made to serve the sovereign purpose of God. And this glorious one heading it up will sum up this thing and bring everything, I like where he says this, to a unified conclusion. And it will be by Jesus Christ himself. And this was God's great purpose of sending him into the world. He's the great captain that has come into the world together in one, all things. And in the Greek, it translates gather together. He says this, and it's interesting. He says this in the Greek. He says he's coming to the world together, all things. It says to bring together again all things to himself. Again. Interesting. So God is going to sum up all things again in Jesus Christ. Now, why would he say it that way? It's because before sin, all things were in a perfect state of harmony and unity in our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, creation was made for him, and after Adam sinned, it brought disorder, confusion, disharmony throughout the whole universe. And Christ is going to come and restore perfect harmony, unity, and peace. And it will be a restoration, and I'm going to say of Genesis 1 to 3, back to a perfect state. But this is the good thing about this. This will be a better state. And you say, well, how could it be any better? Because it will be a state in which it would be impossible for sin to enter in. To me, I can't think of no better state than what that could be right there. Because it's impossible to think about a state that you could live in where there is no sin or where there can never, ever, ever be any sin anymore. You know, it used to be a song many, many years ago. A guy, it was a Christian song. We heard all kind of crazy songs like that, say. But the guy was singing a song about it. He said, before I was saved, I was sitting in the garbage can with the lid on tight. In other words, living in the garbage world. And I think about that sometimes because that's the way we are sometimes about sin, because we were in the garbage and we used to live in the garbage can. And a lot of times we don't realize how bad sin is because you get used to it. But there's coming a day when there won't be sin. And that's why I'm so blessed when I come into the house of God and I can be around the people of God, because that's the closest that you can get on this earth to getting away from sin. Surely it should be the closest we can get on this earth from being away. And even then, we have to deal with sin. But that's why I look for that state. But it's going to be a better state, because it'll be a state in which it will be impossible for sin to ever enter again. Now, when does Paul say it's going to happen? It's going to happen in the dispensation of the fullness of times. And what he means by that, it's going to be the carrying out of God's purpose when the time is right. The other place you would see that would be in Galatians, where it says that Christ came into the world when the fullness of time had come. Now, another passage that speaks of this restoration, and we're not going to look at this whole passage, is Matthew 19:28. Jesus talks about the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on the throne of glory. The regeneration. Regeneration simply means rebirth. It means spiritual renovation. It can mean messianic restoration. There's going to be a reborn and a new world. Isaiah 65:17, the prophet says, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth." And he said, "And the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." And then 2 Peter 3:1, it speaks of God's promise of a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Revelation 21:1 speaks of a new heavens and a new earth that is coming. So the good news tonight, before we go to the table of the Lord, is that the whole creation will be restored. And, you know, however you believe about this, but Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 11:6-9, he says the plants and the animals and the thorns and the thistles, there will be no more curse. There will be no more thorns and thistles, and all the plants and the animals will live in perfect harmony in this new heavens and a new earth. That's good news for me. So you say, well, what has all this to do with Christ and his cross? One man says this. He says, God's defeat of Satan, in order to be final and complete, he must restore everything to its original condition. And then he says, God's plan of redemption is completely carried out when there is a new earth for man to live on in his redeemed, resurrected body. In other words, God's going to put things back in right working order. And the thing that you can add to it is even going to be better. So because of the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God, there's going to be perfect peace and harmony and unity restored in the fullness of time to the universe. And when all is restored, and this is the great news, it will never be undone again. I know it's hard to believe. And the good news for Christians, if you're a believer tonight, and I'll just say what Paul says, and the great news for us is, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will be with the one that restores it all for all eternity. Now, Jesus is going to put everything back in right working order. And I listen to people, and I'm not getting on people stuff like this about how they're going to save the earth and all this stuff. There's only one can do it. There's only one can put it in right working order. There's only one can get things back the way they need to be. Man continually tries to do that. I give him credit. He tries. Okay. But there's one obstacle in the way. Sin. He can't overcome sin. You know, I mean, technology has been great, and I like technology. I like air conditioning. I like all the great technology that's on the scene. But one thing man cannot overcome is man's sin problem. And you can do whatever you want, give him all the money in the world, as Pastor Jim talked about this morning. You can give him all the fun and give him all the thrills in the world, but he cannot solve this problem that we have in the world, because the problem is sin. Well, God sent one to solve this problem, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this promise tonight that he's going to come back and he's going to make all things new. And this will never, ever be undone again. That makes me happy. I don't think we realize how serious that is. Graveyards are full because of sin. Hospitals are full because of sin. All kind of tragedies and stuff on the earth are full because of sin. There is coming a day when we will live in an environment that we do not have to ever worry about that again. And if I say it this way, and you understand what I'm saying, because Jesus is going to even put to death death, if that sounds right, do away with it, defeat death. He's going to do away with it and put it to death. Well, I want to close down with this scripture tonight. I was a little short tonight, but that's all I had. Colossians 1:19. Paul says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." And talking about Christ, "and by him to reconcile or bring together as one all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven." And I wanted to make this point. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." That's why we remember and celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, because the ultimate destiny of the universe now rests in the hands that were once nailed to that cross. And the day is coming when all the people of God will live in the land, I'm saying the land of bliss. There's a day coming when there's no more sin, no more sickness, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. You think of everything you can think of bad, it'll be no more. And it'll be all made new, it'll be all made good. And Christ is going to come and he's going to restore things back to right working order, and it will never, ever be undone again. That's good news to me tonight. And so when you look at the cross of Christ, yes, he procured our salvation. If that was all we had, that's perfect. That's fine. But it goes even so far beyond that. New heavens and new earth, resurrected body, and all these great things. And I think about my brethren that have gone before us and that are already in heaven and things like that. They know much more of these things now than we do. And they are up there rejoicing in the presence of the Lord and waiting for that resurrected body and the day when there's going to be a new heavens and there will be a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight that we have your holy word. And Father, we realize that Jesus died to remove the curse from this world. And Father, we thank you that you sent him to the cross to set us free from our sins. And Father, we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Father, we ask you tonight as we go to the table to give us grateful and thankful hearts for the great work that was done on our behalf at Calvary, and that we would truly, as we sing the last hymn, glory in our Redeemer. Father, you have blessed us beyond anything that we could ever think or imagine. And Father, we do want tonight to praise you for the great work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask tonight that you would be merciful to sinners. And as we partake of the supper tonight, that the gospel would be preached to them. And Father, that you will convict their hearts of sin. And Father, that you will call them savingly to yourself. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.